Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Stoma for Life. If you're new here, this show is all about raising awareness on bowel cancer, a cause close to my heart as I'm a survivor, and discussing life with an ostomy. An ostomy can result from various medical conditions, and I was amazed to learn how many different scenarios can lead to one. My guests consistently agree on one thing. While it's life-changing, change doesn't always have to be negative. For many, it has been a life-altering event that opened up new possibilities. Hosting this radio show was beyond my wildest dreams, but thanks to my new life, I've made it my mission to raise awareness. Today, I want to highlight the power of three words: just do it. We all know the famous sports brand slogan, but the idea behind it, taking action, can be transformative. My guest today truly embodies the spirit. Caroline Bramwell, a wife and mother, faced a major life challenge when she was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis 15 years ago, when her children were just 6 and 4 years old. After major surgery to remove her large intestine and form a permanent ileostomy, Caroline turned to sport. From a self-confessed couch potato who was afraid of water and couldn't swim, she transformed into a determined individual who competes in some of the world's most challenging events, including Ironman triathlons. Just imagine, a year after surgery, she cycled from London to Paris. She learned to swim and took up triathlon, competing in every distance up to full Ironman. Caroline is an inspirational triathlete, speaker, PR consultant, and the author of the book Lou Rolls and Lycra. In 2021, she was approached by a former BBC TV presenter, Lewis Minchin, who joined her in a half Ironman race and featured her in a book, Fearless: Adventures with Extraordinary Women. Caroline is also an ostomy expert for Greg Wallace, host of MasterChef on his healthy eating website. Additionally, she has set up her own community interest company, Ostomy Life, to support those with or about to have a stoma, helping them get back to a full and active life. Welcome to the show, Caroline Bramwell.
Hi, thank you so much. Great to be here.
It's been quite inspirational just reading what I have just read. And as I said, those three words, just do it, or there's another three words that I can think of, like action has genius. Those are words that we use often, but how many actually take it to heart and how many people actually do it? You've done so much, and I know your story starts with a health condition. So perhaps you can take us just shortly back to how this all came about.
Yes, of course. Well, as we said earlier, I was a couch potato, always a couch potato, never did anything but watch on sport on telly. But I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was pregnant with my second child. So my daughter was born and I was suffering massively with the effects of UC. I couldn't be treated until after she was born. And as those who've had UC will know, the treatment is steroids, which is why they couldn't put me on anything. So as soon as she was born by cesarean, I was put on steroids within 2 weeks. I'd lost 2 stone in 2 weeks after her birth because of the disease. And really, from that point on, it was a yo-yo lifestyle of meds. You know, the steroids, do we get the colitis under control? The moment we do, it has a flare. And it's just a horrific life to live, yeah. You know, trying to watch for where is the nearest toilet all the time.
Yeah. I mean, those that have had this can definitely relate. And even myself, my diagnosis also entailed me having to look for a toilet. So, I mean, those are conditions that are so severe. Obviously, you had surgery. Things changed dramatically. And I am sure for the better.
Yes, when I look back, I can't believe how ill I really was. I mean, I became totally housebound. Yeah. And I got hospitalised for intravenous steroids, 2 blood transfusions. I was really seriously ill. And the day that I made the decision to have surgery was when we went to the cinema, A Rare Treat Out, and my husband had to watch me dash behind the bushes, which he'd never seen in public. And he was mortified for me. And he said, well, you know, we need to change things. His idea is to install a toilet in the car. Mine wasn't. Mine was, that's not my idea of change. My idea of change is surgery.
Yeah.
So that was the day I made the decision to have my stoma. And I made mine permanent from day one, because to me, it was quality of life. It's what was important. Yeah. I had a 4-year-old daughter, a 6-year-old son. And I was the invisible mum. I couldn't even care for them because I was so sick. Yeah. So to me, having stoma surgery was the big life changer, not only for my kids and my family, but I think any of us who go through a severe illness, you come out the other side and go, life is for living.
Yeah.
We're given this opportunity. What have I done? So far, I've been a couch potato all my life.
Yeah.
And I knew I was never going to go for a run to lose the weight that I put on from steroids. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up for the London to Paris bike ride. And that was within 24 hours. I needed a goal to go out and train and get fit, because I'd never have gone out anyway.
But what a goal. I mean, have you looked on the map, London to Paris? I mean, I've been there lots of times with the Eurostar, but I would never in my wildest dreams think of doing it on a bike.
Yeah, a bike in 24 hours. I hired a fitness trainer and I told him what I was going to do. And he went, no, it's actually 270 miles. And he said to me, oh, you must mean kilometres. And I'm going, no, it's miles. Wow. And I've not ridden a bike since I was a kid. So he was like, oh, right, we've got to start from scratch. I did go and see my GP, because we're all told if you want to start, you know, something new, we need to make sure that we're safe to do so. I saw my GP and she said, well, you have just had surgery, you know, and you do have a stoma. Now, bearing in mind, I'd had the surgery in the March and I saw her in around the September, October. And I said to her, well, can I see how I go with training? Bearing in mind also, I had the after effects of osteoarthritis from all the medication. So I could hardly walk down my own stairs, let alone ride a bike. And I said, well, can I see how I get on with the training? And she said, well, okay, see how it goes, but don't have any great expectations.
Okay.
Well, that was like a red rag, wasn't it? It was like, she didn't say no.
No.
So off I went and I hired my PT. And do you know what? The cycling, the exercise got shot of all those osteo stiffness in all my joints. I went and saw the consultant once. I returned after I'd started training and he thought it was like a miracle, because I've never had any kind of stiffness ever since.
My
the
God.
Exercise got rid of all that from my body.
Wow.
So exercise, I recognise how important exercise is to us. So I rode. It was the following July. It was a year after surgery. We left London on a Friday morning at 9 a.m. and we got to Paris within 7 minutes of the 24 hours. So a 24-hour bike ride.
So. My goodness. Now, obviously, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, you're on a bike and you've got a stoma. How is this all possible? I mean, I've had a marathon runner. He has 2 pouches and he's run the London Marathon twice. No, 3 times, actually. And he said it was quite interesting, because he had to obviously look for bags that would suit his condition. Also, with I could imagine you cycling. I mean, you perspire and your bags might not, you know.
Yeah, it was all a learning curve. And I think signing up for the challenge was me proving to myself I was back in control of my body.
Wow.
And that was the big thing. And I learnt to dash behind the tree just to change a bag as opposed to be in there for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole ethos changed. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I could do it, to me, it was freedom.
Yeah.
Having my stoma bag and being out on the bike for 24 hours
wow.
was freedom.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, that was a biggie. And it was another 2 years before I did another event because I slipped back to couch potato mode after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode Newcastle to London in 24 hours. Oh. And that's actually further. That's 300 miles.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. So because you don't have the ferry crossing.
And true.
We got rained on for 18 hours. It was 18 hours of rain. So that was where it started, was me getting back into it by doing cycling because I could never be a runner. So I started with cycling.
Yeah.
So and then I moved on to decide I need a new challenge because I recognised
mm-hmm.
I'm goal driven. I recognised that in order to do things, I need goals. I need to aim for things.
Yeah.
And so I decided I'm not going to do anything big. I'm just going to learn to swim because I was one of these people who couldn't put a face in the water, couldn't go out of a depth. I'd panic if there was water on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just joined my local pool and started doing, I went back to scratch
mm-hmm.
to learn to swim properly.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
because properly, because I'm thinking in my mind, I could never do this because I don't think I can swim properly. I mean, there are certain styles that are more favorable in swimming, and I certainly don't have one of those.
Nor did I.
So, yeah, talk us through that. I mean, here you are wanting to learn how to swim properly with, did you have that goal in mind to one day I will do an Ironman?
No, that was never, ever in my mind. I think for me, just learning to swim, just getting my face in the water and being able to swim with my face in the water was a big challenge. It was actually just to swim with my children. That's why I learned to swim. I'd lost all those years when they were young, when I was so sick. That I wanted to have that time back with them. We live by the coast and they swim like dolphins. So my goal was just to swim with the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found once I could do some lengths, a couple of lengths, I thought, well, I know I can ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can swim. I can do two lengths.
Mm-hmm.
And running must surely just be putting one foot in front of the other. I wonder if I could do a little local triathlon or something like that. And it was just a personal goal. It was just one of these ideas.
Yeah.
And so I found the local tri club and I joined the North Devon Tri. And that's when I realised quite how out of my depth I really was.
Yeah.
But I've stuck with it and I've been with the tri club ever since. So it's, again, improving its technique. And that's when I started to test all the products in the market.
Yeah.
As you say, it's knowing what's going to work for your situation, and there is so much out there, and I think people don't realize they can shop about. You know, you need to get your stoma care nurses to make sure it's okay fit for you, but actually you don't have to stick with the one you're given when you leave hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I learned. I tried everything, absolutely everything, until I found a system that works, particularly obviously in the water.
Of course. And once again, I always say this, a big shout out to all those healthcare providers, because without those valuable bags, we would not be able to do all this. I mean, that is crucial and that is key. So we're going to have a quick commercial break because I want to know, obviously, how it actually came about, you running your first Ironman.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life, where I'm joined by the incredible Caroline Bramwell, who's just shared with us what her life was like prior to her ileostomy, and then how her life completely turned around by her actually, learning how to swim and doing a cycle race from London to Paris, and also now aiming to start running, because obviously, I mean, I'm not that clued up on an Ironman, but I do know there are those three things are part of an Ironman.
Yes, absolutely. Swim, bike, and run. Yeah. That's the disciplines for a triathlon.
Yes, and just talk us through. I think it's a marathon that you have to run.
Yes, a full Ironman mm-hmm. is a 2.4-mile open water swim. It's then 112 miles on a bike, and then you run the marathon on the end. And for Ironman, you have a time limit of 17 hours to do that in. Wow. And then a half Ironman is you just half those distances. But we can then break them down. There are shorter versions as well. And obviously, like anything in life, you start small. And that's what I did. I just started small with a little local, tiny little triathlon. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I went into that because it was my own club triathlon. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified. I'll be honest, it was my first time. It was a pool swim, so that was easy. Yeah. I was very, very slow. But the way they work in triathlon, they put the slow people in first. So that by the time they get out and out on the bike and the run, the faster people are going in and you kind of all finish at the same time because the faster ones catch up with the slower ones. Yeah. I will say I was the first person in the pool. By the time I finished, I got on my bike, no problem doing the bike. And then I headed for the run, which was it was 5K run.
Wow.
I'll be honest, I hadn't trained for running because my theory was, anyone can run. You can put one foot in front of the other. That was the day I learned my lesson. It's not quite as easy as that.
Yeah.
So I did it. I completed the whole thing, but I was so, so slow because my running was just non-existent. I was 20 minutes behind the last person. Mm-hmm. I was that slow. The man collecting the arrows actually caught me up. That's how bad I was. So... But I got bitten by the bug of being in a tri club with other triathletes. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in surrounding yourself by those you aspire to be like.
Yeah.
And have those people in your world because they will inspire you and motivate you. Yeah. And I surrounded myself with triathletes of all levels, mm-hmm. from local to Ironman. They're all in our club. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who've inspired and carried me forward and encouraged me to do bigger distances.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done. I've gone on to just go from that little sprint triathlon, that little short one. Mm-hmm. I then stuck my hand up, say, yeah, I'll do the Olympic distance, which is double. Oh yeah, I'll come and do Slate Man, which is in Snowdonia. Snowdonia, I will say there's two. I've been up there twice. Mm-hmm. The Snowdonia Slate Man triathlon. You swim in Lake Padden, which is at the bottom of Snowdon. Mm-hmm. It is the deepest, blackest, coldest lake ever. It was so scary. But we then cycle up Penny Pass. So those who know who know Wales and know the hills up there, we go up Penny Pass, okay, and then come back down again, and then you run. But I then went back and did what they called the Savage the year later, where I do the sprint version on the Saturday and the Olympic version on the Sunday. So it's double the distance on the Sunday. And I just got bitten by it. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I'm still a rubbish runner, but, you know, you train. You have to train. You have to just work at it. You know, it's about just putting one foot in front of the other, even if it seems slow.
Yeah.
There's so many little techniques that I'm used to use.
Like I said, just do it. But
absolutely,
that first step is the initial important step to actually then follow through and carry on doing it. And like you said, you were bitten by the bug. You enjoyed it. And I can just imagine. I mean, I'd actually like to see you in action. I don't know if you're doing something in the future, but I mean, just to think of it, I don't know, it gives me goosebumps because I think it's so amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And you are such an inspiration now to so many in this ostomy community. I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
I've been delighted to see so many more ostomates take on triathlon.
Yeah.
When I did it, I didn't know of any really. Yeah. I think I knew of one person who did it and that was it. Now I see people going, oh, I've seen you do a triathlon. I want to have a go. And that just lights my fire. It makes my heart full to see others wanting to try something new. And to me, that was the inspiration. That's what drives me, actually. Other people being inspired is what drives me to keep doing something bigger and keep pushing further.
Yeah. Now, somebody that has definitely been inspired, who followed you, I think, on Instagram was Louis Mitchin.
Yes, what? Yes.
Tell us about that. I mean, that sounds absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was the most bizarre thing. But back in 2018, that's when my book got published, Lou Rolls to Lycra, The Ironman Dreams of an IBD Sufferer. Mm-hmm. And at the same moment that mine came out through my publisher, Louise Minchin's story, Dare to Try, came out. And I'm thinking, oh, God, just when I think I've got a book on the shelf in Smith's, yeah, hers comes out on the same kind of topic, triathlon. And what I would do is I would go into Waterstones and I put both the books side by side on the shelf, photographed it and put it on social media and tagged her and went, I guess, Louise, this is the only time we'll ever race being in a shop.
Wow.
And that was in 2018.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd tag her from time to time because of bits that I was doing in triathlon and I liked what she was doing because she became a GB qualified triathlete.
Mm-hmm.
And then just completely randomly out of the blue in late 21, I got this message in my Instagram direct message going, hi, it's Louise off the telly. And you think, oh, it's spam.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't spam. It really was Louise off the telly.
Excellent.
She'd been following what I was doing. Yeah. And she said, I'm writing my next book, which is called Fearless. Well, at the time, we didn't know what it was going to be called, but it was all about having adventures with women. It's now become Fearless Adventures with Extraordinary Women.
Mm-hmm.
And what she was doing is going out having different adventures with different inspirational women. Some of these women in her book are Guinness World Record holders, mountain climbers, women who've walked solo to the Arctic. Wow. One of my icons is, you know, a 14 times Ironman champion who is actually a runner now. And she was interviewing her about that, Lucy Gossage. And here's Louise asking me to be one of the girls in her book.
Wow.
And I was like blown away. So that's when we said, great. All right, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And she came. I was booked to do the Cotswold 113, which was a half Ironman distance triathlon. And she said, okay, I'll come and do it with you. And that was the day we met, when she and I met and raced.
Wow.
And became friends from that moment on. And the other women in the book, I mean, Katina Cox, who's out in the Paralympics, she's one of our fearless family now.
Wow.
These women are all part of my inspirational friendship group. So Fearless has got a life of its own. We go off and talk in various places. We did the book launch last year and we went to Kendall Mountain Festival. We go and talk on stage at book festivals and all those sorts of things. And it's just been the most inspirational group of friends who I'm now going to be doing other challenges with. I mean, one of them is a cave diver and she's going to take me caving.
Wow.
So, you know, she's taken up triathlon because of what I was doing in the book. And she's just done her first triathlon in the last couple of months.
Wow.
So we've all inspired one another in Fearless.
Yeah.
So that's another book. So that's two books on your list. Lou Rolls to Lycra and Fearless that people need to read to be inspired.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, as we're talking about the books, I'm sure there can be people that would like to buy them can do so. Also get a link via your website. Is that correct?
Yes. If you contact me through ironostomy.co.uk or carolinebramwell.co.uk, you can buy the book directly from me there. And I can send signed copies if people want one, if they come to me directly.
Yes,
so I can do that.
In Fearless, I think your story is on page 111, as far as I know.
Oh, I'm impressed. Yeah, chapter 8, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, somewhere like that. But yes,
yeah.
And, you know, both books have got photographs of the challenges and the things that we've all done. So, yes.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, that, just to think of somebody, you know, that you have, that whose career you've witnessed and that you set out to, well, that actually contacted you, and then you end up being together in these challenges and in their book. It's just incredible.
Yeah, she's up for an award. We were both up for an award,
yeah.
Which is coming up in September. So we're going up to that together as well. So up in Preston, so we're going up to some awards together as well.
Incredible. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And there's still so much to talk about, because I said, as I mentioned in the intro, you've also set up Ostomy Life. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, Ostomy Life. I found so many people were asking me questions about how could I do this? What would you eat? What would I drink? And how did you get into exercise? And I realized, I looked out there and I thought, apart from one or two people who were doing it, there was no charitable support in that respect specifically. And I thought, you know, people need to know where to get this information. So Ostomy Life, I set it up as a community interest company. So it is a charitable organization. The aim is to help people get active and enjoy life again. I heard people used to say to me, oh, can I eat those biscuits? Or I only live on yogurt. And I'm thinking, you do not need to live just on yogurt and avoid biscuits because you've got a stoma. There's so much fear around exercise and fear around food after surgery.
Yeah.
That's what I think was missing. And so that's where it stemmed from, to actually support people in that respect. I mean, it's very young, literally. It's been up just 6 months, and it's at the point where I need to fundraise. It's going to be a fundraised type of charity.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's so much there to share with people. There's so much that I'm working on at the moment and I want to do with Ostomy Life particularly.
So in case people would like to get hold of you, support Ostomy Life, where can they do that?
The website is ostomylife.co.uk. Again, you can contact me directly through there, and I will have a Just Giving page that people, if they want to do some fundraising or if they want to go and take part in sport and fundraise for Ostomy Life, that to me makes my heart sing. But get in touch with me if you'd like to fundraise for us, or get more involved with what we're doing. That would be massive.
Yeah, please do. So anybody who's listening to this, we're inviting you to take part and follow you.
Yeah, do come and join me. I mean, at some point I'd love to have an event where people who want to come and run, if it was like a 5k, like a park run or something, I'd love Ostomates to all meet up and do a 5k or an event together. You know, we see Race for Life, don't we? So why don't we have an Ostomates one?
Exactly.
So that's what I'd love to see, is all supporting one another in that field.
Let's put it out there. I mean, that's really something to strive towards, because like you, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not very much of a runner, but what's actually keeping me from running?
Yeah,
you know?
It can be a walk. It can be a walk. When I started, I would run for 1 minute and walk for a minute. I still use this strategy, but I don't do 1 minute. So I do longer distances.
Yeah.
Or you run to one lamppost, then you walk to the next one, then you run to the next. It's interval training.
Yeah.
And that, you find people build up very slowly and steadily, they'll build up their endurance and their health and their speed.
Yeah. And I know it goes very quickly, because when I was in my 30s, I did take up jogging, and I was amazed on how quickly it went getting fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body does go back into it from when you're young.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a dog, so I take her running. So she holds me back, actually. She stops too many times now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Listen, when we come back, we're going to have a quick commercial break. I would like to know all about Greg Wallace. So join us after this commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, Welcome back to Stoma for Life, and I'm chatting to the amazing Caroline Bramwell. She is so inspirational, and let me tell you, whenever I am on my little bike here at home, I am forever going to have that distance in my head, London to Paris.
Good.
So now we touched on a subject where I actually said, or actually mentioned, that you were approached by Greg Wallace for his health expert website. Is that correct?
Yes, it was a friend of ours that we have a mutual friend. I didn't realise she was a friend of his. Mm-hmm. And she and I were going to do some work together. And she suddenly said, I want you to meet Greg, because what you're doing with Ostomy Life and healthy eating and exercise with the stoma. And I thought, fabulous, why not? So we had a Zoom call for half an hour. And when I told him what I was doing, he just went, oh, my word, love it. He said, I so support what you're doing. I hadn't realised his wife had had a stoma for a year.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, he's quite public about it. Mm-hmm. And so is she. And so he said, I get it. Because when she had hers, she was so afraid of eating. And she's a chef. And so he said, I love it. Put my name to it. I put my face to it. I put my voice to it. I absolutely love it. And at the same time, he was launching his own website, Greg Wallace Health, which is about healthy eating. Yeah. And it's all recipes created by him and Anna and their nutrition expert, and people losing weight. At the time, it was just a weight loss thing, but he wanted to have some experts, because I said to him about ostomates fearing food, and he went, yeah, get it. Yeah. And he said, would you be my ostomy expert? Mm-hmm. So now I'm on his website as his mm-hmm. ostomy expert. And what I do is I look through all of his recipes. Obviously, I've got a lot to get through. Yeah. But I look at them and adapt them. I cook a lot of them for myself to see, mm-hmm. will this work? Mm-hmm. I mean, people still worry about mushrooms, onions, you know, nuts. Yeah. So I actually go through all his recipes as well, mm-hmm. and say, generally, this should be ostomy safe. Mm-hmm. I appreciate people have other conditions, but I can only say, well, for me as an ostomate, this has got nothing in it that's caused me any kind of a problem. Okay. So it just helps to guide people with which recipes are more ostomy friendly. Yeah. So I do that with him. And it's brilliant. I mean, I've seen people losing loads of weight through using his program. And it's just it's a monthly subscription thing, yeah. where they got access to all of his recipes and stuff. But if they want to, if people are interested in that, if you go to Greg Wallace Health, mm-hmm. and use the, and you want to sign up, use the discount code STOMA, mm-hmm. because that will get you a discount on it as well. But it's a, you know, it's a low cost membership to get access to all this phenomenal nutritious food, which is what I'm all about. Incredible. It's superb, absolutely superb. So Greg and I have become friends through that. And obviously, as a PR marketing person, you know, I'm here to help him when he needs it for various bits and pieces as well. So, you know, it's a blend of our skills. You know, he's got the personality, I've got the PR skill set. Mm-hmm. And between us, we're both passionate about healthy eating, yeah. and particularly for people with ostomates as well.
And as you said, for ostomates that are perhaps in the beginning of the ostomy journey, I mean, those are key questions. And even myself, I'm still in the trial and error phase, because there'll be new foods that I might not have eaten for a long time, where I'm also not quite sure, will this be okay? Will this agree with me? And I mean, this is so valuable for all ostomates out there.
I think ostomates need to be aware that when they first had surgery, the body is still healing. There's scar tissue in there. So yes, you have to be super careful in those early weeks. You know, don't start going off having nut roasts or anything straight off. But you know what I mean? You do need to be really gentle on your system, particularly in those first couple of months or so, or 3 months. But gradually, like you, introduce foods to your diet. Don't fear them. What I do with his recipes is I look at, how can I do that differently? So if it's got mushrooms, instead of diced mushrooms, I'll blend them. Mm-hmm. Things like that. So I can still enjoy the flavour. Exactly. But I just think, as an ostomate, how would this be more digestible for my body?
Yeah.
So, and all his recipes are done by a nutritionist as well. So they've been brilliant. They're absolutely wonderful. And it means as an ostomy, you can still enjoy food. You can enjoy exercise. You've got to do it carefully. And the same with food, you can still enjoy good food.
Well, I mean, you yourself are the biggest example for this that you can still do it, and you can do it to such a high level because you are obviously part of, I'd say, an elite group of people that have actually gone so far in their sport. Because even people in a normal, I'd say, in a normal setting, don't even get that far. So you are really part of an elite group. Now, I'm wondering, I'm listening to all this, and I know you're a mother, you're a
Yes.
triathlete, and you're a businesswoman. Do you have more than 24 hours in the day? How do you do
The million-dollar question, isn't it? Everyone asks me this question, actually. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's always a balancing act. I mean, when I'm racing for a full Ironman, and I don't do them all the time because of the intensity of training, I will train 15 hours a week over 6 days. So at that time, I needed a very supportive husband. Because of training. So that's why I don't do a full Ironman on a regular basis because it's too much on the body as well as a life. You kind of sacrifice your life a little bit. But it's having people around you who support you. That's a big part of it. So for my training, I can fit that in like an early morning run or a swim at 7 in the morning. So I can do my training early and then I feel smug all day because I've done it. And then my kids, they've now reached the heady heights of 21 and 19. So it's actually got easier now because they're no longer relying on me all the time. But it has been a family thing, having a husband who supported me from when I was sick when I had Natasha, and he used to do all the feeds right through to juggling our household. He did a lot of the cooking because I'd be out training. But yeah, and then running my business. And, I love doing my PR marketing. I love coaching and mentoring people. And I've adjusted things. I'm now mentoring people where I can give dedicated time to people once a month or however often they need. And it gives me freedom. It gives me flexibility. I love being self-employed and working with people. And I would love to work with anybody in businesses around health, food, charity. Those are the people I'm passionate about because they get the most out of me.
We've almost come to the end of the show, unfortunately. It's been, I'm sure you could make another show out of this, and I do want to invite you back because this nutrition aspect I find totally fascinating, and I think it's a very big topic in ostomy life. So, but on closing the show, for people that are either facing ostomy surgery or new to ostomy or have family members that are living in an ostomy, what is the most valuable advice you can give them in wanting to get back into life? Because I think that is the big deal after a surgery like that, to actually get back into your life.
Yes, I mean, people have ostomies for different reasons. Some are elected, like mine, some are emergency. And so, how we approach them mentally can be very difficult or very different. I know it's scary for people who are not expecting to have one, but we can't change what we've got. And it's about how we adapt our lives to have our best life. I would never have become a triathlete had I not had my surgery. Ever on this planet. So life has changed. It's a new chapter in your life. And it's looking at how do I make the most? What do I want out of life? I'm still here. That's the thing to remember. You're still here. And it's about making the most of every day and enjoying it with the people that you want to have around you and that you love. So for me, my three words is anything is possible. And that's the one that I use all the time because it's in our minds what we can achieve. It doesn't have to be at elite level. It could just be something local. But to my mind, yeah, anything is possible.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And I will take that to heart. Just like, just do it. Anything is possible, or action has genius, as I said. And it was absolutely wonderful listening to your story. You are such an inspiration to all ostomates out there. I wish you all the best going forward with Ostomy Life, and can't wait to perhaps see you featured in another book. I'll be following your story from perhaps not from the sideline. Perhaps I will start doing that. Yeah.
Let's see you on the start line.
Exactly. Maybe from the start line or the sideline. Thank you so much, Caroline. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being here today.
All the best. Take care. Bye for now.